11.
From the Director, Department of Health and Human Services, submitting an informational report regarding staffing at the Behavioral Health Division. At our January meeting, a follow-up report was requested. This item is informational only unless otherwise directed by the committee.
Madam Chair, Supervisors, again, this is another report that was submitted verbally in the last cycle. It's the pleasure of the committee. I can review it in detail, or I can hit summary points, or I can simply go right to answering questions.
Do summary points.
Okay. So throughout 2013, there were a number of resignations, retirements that occurred in critical care positions. 41 CNAs, 22 nurses left county employment, and 13 either by retirement, resignation, separation. So as of January of 14, there were a total of 84 FTEs, or 15% of the overall budget, were vacant. This reflects, what I did, I think it was Supervisor Bowen requested some actual numbers, so I attached numbers of actual budgeted positions over filled positions and then the subsequent vacant FTEs. We've also experienced, in particular towards the end of 2013, early 14, disproportionately high number of FMLA call-ins, sick call-ins, and absent without pay. Those numbers in combination accounted for almost 10% of all scheduled work hours that we had to cover for, and for clarity, purposes of clarity, there are no time. There's no time to cover those. Those are call-ins just before the shift, so they had to be filled immediately that day. Most of those are what directly result in mandatories. We're able to anticipate when there is when there are vacant positions. We're able to anticipate most of those positions and fill those slots with employees. It's the ones where there's no forewarning in terms of an open position that we have to, as does any healthcare organization, scramble to get those positions filled. So in terms of the scope of this issue, it is a big issue. I believe it's getting better over the past couple weeks. We had a weekend in February, it was Valentine's Day weekend, where we had a lot of mandatories over Valentine's weekend, but for the balance of those of the month of February, it was pretty quiet. So that's not contained in here. That's kind of some up-to-date information. And I just also want to kind of talk about how many shifts we're talking about on a given month. That number is contained in the end. We're filling almost between 5,500 and 6,000 assignments in a typical month, and usually we're able to do that. We're able to fill all those shifts, but there are occasions where we have to mandate folks, and it speaks about some of the numbers of mandating that had occurred. Typically, when we're mandating folks again, it's due to these unanticipated absences or a spike in a coverage that we call one-to-ones, where we have to put typically a CNA that's covering an individual on a one-to-one basis, so they have to be within 4 to 5 feet of that individual 24 hours a day. Those are unanticipated. We don't know from 1 minute to the next if we're going to get a one-to-one order. Then when we get the one-to-one order, we have to scramble to fill all those slots until that one-to-one order is discontinued. So, again, that's a very highlight, kind of a thumbnail sketch of the report, but I'm happy to answer questions.
Supervisor Bowen.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and thank you, Mr. Grubacek, for bringing forth this information that was requested. One of my questions that I have would be of the, let's see, there were retirements, resignations, and separations, I believe. 41 CNAs and 22 registered nurses. How many of those are retirements?
I don't have that number off the top. I can get that for you, though.
Okay. Well, so it would go for each one of those.
Yeah.
What do you think is more? More retirements, resignations, or separations?
I have the number. I can give it to you in very specific detail. I just don't have it with me right now. My gut tells me it's about 10% resignations and then probably a balance of the resignations, retirements between the remaining 90%. That's okay. A rough guess, but I'll certainly be happy to send you those specific numbers.
Okay. And separation, what does that mean?
Termination.
Gotcha. And percentage of separations would be
My guess out of the aggregate, it's 45%? About 10% were separated. Of those three types of employee exits, we'll call them, I think about 10% of them were separated, and then the balance was a combination of retirements and resignations.
Okay. Loss of active work hours due to both FMLA and workman's compensation is roughly equivalent to 15 employees a day. Is that consistent with other hospital standards?
I don't know that. I think it's a little higher for us.
Okay.
I don't know what percentages of, and this is only anecdotal, but when I've talked with other medical professionals who have come into the behavioral health division from other healthcare organizations, they tell me anecdotally it's higher at Milwaukee County than it is in other healthcare organizations.
Okay. And with the, that is reflected, those numbers are reflected in the numbers in the chart.
Yes.
Of the vacant positions that we have. So some of these.
No.
No.
No. An FMLA, an individual who's out on FMLA is still occupying a position.
Okay. Gotcha. And we have specifically the largest amount of nursing assistants at 29 vacant.
Yes.
Is that specifically where the company is contracted to hire individuals, or is it just whatever positions that we need?
Not specifically, but they are an employee class that we're using through the agencies. We're using CNAs, certified nursing assistants, and nurses. Those are the only two positions that we're utilizing through agency, but those are our without question, our highest need positions. They're 24-hour coverage. Mm-hmm.
And the company that we're, the staffing agency that we're contracted with for a second contract, we are going to we're going to go into a new contract with the same company as the last time.
We're going to extend. We're doing two things. We're going to extend the contract with the existing staffing agency, and we're going to expand the pool of available employees to the second staffing agency to try to continue to get more individuals into the organization that can cover shifts.
And Director, this 15 percentage of vacancies, what's the goal to address that and when?
Madam Chair, Supervisor, so again, we're taking a very comprehensive approach. We're going to be recruiting some people. We're contracting other people. We're expanding our pool. So we're addressing it in a comprehensive fashion. Obviously, it's a challenge to hire people when they know they could be out of a job. And we have other challenges just within our system that makes it difficult. That's why we're trying to handle this comprehensively. But we are in the recruitment mode and in the recruitment process of trying to get more people in the place.
I could add to that, Madam Chair, Supervisor, the 15% number is a bit on the high side. Typically, we hover around the 11 or 12% vacancy turnover rate. So with, as Director Colon alluded to, with our current recruitment, we'd like to bring that down back into that range. Again, strategy is about we have to keep the facility fully staffed, knowing what the future holds, and the future holds layoffs. So we are, as folks are coming into the organization, being very open and candid with them that these positions are at risk based on what the bumping requirements are under current civil service rules, or current contract, I should say.
Okay. And the trend that we seen in the holiday period where employees were forced to work extra shifts because we were short-staffed, is that declining since that peak, or is that continuing? I think I see a total of 53 shifts in December and January.
So at the last time I checked was I'm gonna say it was towards the end of February, and up my wife is gonna kill me, but I think Valentine's Day is the second week in February,
14th.
Yeah.
So that weekend we had a big spike in mandatories. Up till that point we had one mandatory reassignment in the month of February, and since then I don't know how many mandatories we've had. We've continued to have them, but at a lower rate.
And one more question, Ms. Chair. The cause of those shifts being forced on employees, is that mainly happening in certain units or certain areas of BHD, or is it just across the board in Hilltop Central and acute units?
We're going to see it pretty much across the board. The way staffing works is particularly on off shifts and weekends, you've got a house supervisor that has to take a look at the needs of the entire house, and the house is inclusive of the six long-term care units, three acute adult units, a kids unit, our observation unit, and our emergency room. So they have to look at the entire house and figure out which area needs staff the most, and they make those decisions based on that. So they do engage in pulling, they call it pulling. We pull staff from an area that is considered to be either overstaffed or well-staffed, and then they'll move them to another part of the organization that needs that individual. After all that pulling is done, then we kind of get a lay of the land. So it's kind of difficult to tease out if there's a specific area that's driving this, just because we look at the house as an aggregate.
Okay. And so October, November, 17 shifts, 41 assignments. December, January, 53 shifts, 136 assignments. And then there was a spike in February as well.
Mm-hmm.
So this is getting worse.
I think it reached its peak certainly over the holidays. I think since the holidays we had a weekend where it was particularly bad. Since that weekend, my sense is that it's improved. We're also, I do want to say I don't want to the use of agency is really what we would consider a Band-Aid. It's not a solution. It's not a long-term solution. We want to bring in people that are going to be there, that have some more consistency. It's the same face day after day. That's what we're hoping for. That's why, as Director Colon alluded to, we are actively recruiting, actively engaged. I'm doing a new employee orientation on Monday with, I believe there's about 8 new staff that are coming in. Interviews are being scheduled every week. HR is working diligently to get through all our lists, so we recognize this as an issue, and we're working collectively with the union and try to encouraging the members to help us out whenever we can, whenever they can, in terms of folks picking up shifts and doing those types of things. And it's really one of those areas, I think, as I alluded to last week or last month, that nobody likes mandatories. Nobody likes them. Management hates doing them because most of our managers have families too and recognizes the impact on family. So nobody likes doing them. Nobody likes receiving them.
And that can have an impact on the quality of care.
Absolutely. There's no question.
Okay. And I know Supervisor Weisshein made a comment that, you know, even if we want to spend more money to improve the quality of mental health, that we couldn't. But these are all already allocated dollars that we put in the budget. And there are 29 CNAs that we can't hire or that we're struggling to hire. And there's nothing that this board can do about that, from my knowledge. And it sounds like even the administration is struggling and doing that too. So I don't think a new board would be able to do that either. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you. Director Colon.
Yeah, Madam Chair, I just want to say that, you know, so as we talk about this right now, you know, we're probably going to talk about this next month, in our next couple of months. This is going to be a continued challenge for us. This is not going to go away. And that is why whenever you close a facility, you do it as quickly as possible while also doing it in a safe manner. So I just want to raise that, you know, it's going to be really challenging. People are going to leave for better opportunities. People aren't going to want to come in because they know the long-term care is going to be closing in the next 2 years. So this is going to be a huge challenge. So I'd say that best practices is to move forward as quickly as you can on this because of the staffing challenges. And we're committed to doing that. And we're also committed to continue the comprehensive approach we're taking, you know, in terms of recruiting the staffing company, and also the pool. And we've got to be nimble throughout that process and see what is working best. And the retention bonus, we're hoping that we can get that because that also would make a difference in terms of incenting people to come on board and also incenting people not to leave, at least while we go through this process.
But Director, wouldn't you say that we – oh, Madam Chair.
Go ahead.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Director, wouldn't you say that we are trying to close as quickly as possible on our current plans?
Yes. But we may have to accelerate it.
Is this board stopping you from accelerating it?
As it relates to long-term care?
As it relates to any of the goals to close as quickly as possible.
certainly there's, yeah, I mean, the answer is yes. Over time, sure, this board has not been totally in line with closing or downsizing. I mean,
okay, I think my understanding is that we've put in safeguards so that if you don't close in time, you have that opportunity. Are there specific things that you need right now to close by January 1st of 2015?
For Hilltown?
If you'd like to close anything that you want, accelerated the way that you want, is there anything that you need?
As it relates to Hilltop, we need the help of the managed care organizations to develop the capacity and services needed, and the county board in that situation, right? They can't do anything. The fact of the matter is, it's approved. We are closing. In that instance, we need help from the care management organizations and the state to help us move that forward.
Got you. And I think what I heard you say is that the managed care organizations need to step up to work accelerated in your purview, but there's nothing that the board can do about that.
On that, no.
Even providing money.
And with regards to Hilltop closure, no.
Got you. And Madam Chair, I think there was also a point that Mr. Grubacek brought up, but I think I lost that point. But I'm glad I have clarity on these positions. That was my question. How much do CNAs make a year at the county?
I believe there's a range, and I think it's in the $12 to $14 an hour range, but I 15 an hour.
$15.75, so about
30.
About $30,000 a year. And should we revisit pay for these positions to speed up the process of hiring. Is that should that be looked at or revisited or analyzed?
I think in terms of what is going to help right now, you know, I would be disingenuous if I said if somebody is going to make more money, it wouldn't make it a more attractive proposal for them to work there. Is that a reasonable proposal at this point in time? I don't know how it can be. I think what we have to operate under is the constraints that we're currently operating under. I don't know what the CNAs at BHD make in comparison to what they make elsewhere. What I do know is that we are actively recruiting. We're able to hire in some good folks, and the folks that aren't going to work out, we're able to address those needs as quickly as we can. So I can't say to you that this is about the daily wage. I would suspect strongly that you would get a differing opinion from members of the union.
How does our wage rate for CNAs at 29 that are vacant, that are adding to the 15% of vacancies that we have at BHD, how does that compare to the private sector?
When you talk about the private sector, because we have multiple licenses that we have, you'd have to do a comparison to other hospitals, to other inpatient hospitals, and other nursing homes and ICFMRs. I can't tell you what the vacancy turnover rate are for those other organizations.
Okay. Can you give me that information?
I can
see that comparison.
I can see if I can get that for you. Okay. I could get you anecdotally, again, from other professionals that have come into the organization as they see a higher turnover, high we call it V&T, vacancy and turnover rate in nursing homes.
Gotcha.
That have a higher dependence on CNA positions.
Yeah. Let's do the same for RN positions, too. We have 15 RN1 positions that are open, and I'd like to see the comparison of pay to see if that might be a factor of why we can't fill them, just to see the information. And Madam Chair, I hate to continue to ask for reports, but
okay.
Information is good for me. Thank you, Madam Chair.
All right. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So Mr. Kubitschek, has BHD ever considered starting its own training program where you help CNAs get their license and then you train them specifically to work with people with mental illness? I think that's one of the problems that we have in recruiting and retaining people is that, for example, myself, I'm a certified nurse assistant. I went through a training program at Mount Carmel back in the day. I was trained to work with elderly people. I was not trained to work with people with dementia. I was not trained to work with people who have coexisting disorders. When I transferred employment to another facility, I then was trained to work on a unit that specifically had people that had dementia, Alzheimer's, and whatever, because it was a different population. And because it's your regular CNA stuff kind of goes out the window when you are working with people that have these disorders. The same thing can be said for BHD. I could be trained as a CNA. I could be certified as a CNA. And maybe I was doing home health aid, whatever. And then I come into BHD. Now I'm working with people who have significant disorders. I'm not prepared to handle that. I may be, you know, they may be a little bit more physical. They may be a little bit more verbal. They may, you know, and I'm not used to that, and therefore I will try to get employment elsewhere versus staying in an atmosphere where I haven't been trained and I'm not comfortable. So have you ever, because I know CNAs is a constant. It's since I've been here, we've been discussing how can we get in and maintain employment with their CNAs.
Well, it's a constant and exceedingly crucial position in the organization. That we have good folks that are delivering that level of care. The notion of having kind of a county-run CNA training organization, school, I guess for lack of a better word, has come up in the past. It's not really, it's been a while. It kind of is in the back of my memory banks that it was discussed, and I know that there were issues related to it, but I don't know what they were, and I don't want to speak out of turn. You know, suffice to say, we do, we recognize that the specific needs of the organization are very particular to our organization, are very particular to the what needs we have in terms of training, so we do design a training program that's really focused on them once they get in the door.
Thank you. Supervisor Mayo.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Only thing I needed to say, I have to agree with Supervisor Bowen, and we talked to Director Cologne when he said the county board hinders, but then Director Cologne had to correct himself and say that the reason why they can't rapidly change quickly because the community health care and the state. So it's not the county board. Let's make that very clear. Because it seemed like, I know he's on the same plane of county board. It's not the county board. Right. Because we've been here working with everybody to make sure that we look out for our patients. So when this changes, I wonder who they're going to blame again. All right. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Supervisor Mayo. Supervisor Stemper.
Yes, Chair again, Supervisor Peggy West.
Thank you. I just want to say this for the record. I don't want to belabor the point, but if we're being honest, we have to admit that part of these staffing issues has nothing to do with retention bonus, has nothing to do. First of all, we had staffing issues before we even started with the redesign, before we even started moving people to the community. We were in trouble, not to the extent that we are now, but we were. But again, if we're being honest, and you can blame the board for whatever you want, that's great. We know we're the whipping boys, and that's awesome. But the truth of the matter is that when this redesign was proposed to the public, we had no community capacity study. We had no family care capacity study. We had no plan on how we were going to what we were going to present to employees. We did not sit and meet with them and say, this is how this is going to work for you. If you stay through till the end, we're going to give you this amount of money. If you stay through till the end, we may be able to transfer you somewhere else within BHD, and you'll still maintain your employment. There was what should have happened, in my opinion, is that there should have been an individualized track for each person that worked out at BHD. HR, I know that would have whipped them into overtime, but there should have been some type of plan so that I could come and sit down with Jim Kubitschek and say, Jim, at the end of this downsizing, you will still have a position if that's what you desire. That, to me, tells employees we're committed to keeping you, and tells the employees that you're not committed to keeping that they do need to start making other plans. It also could say, you know, you are eligible for retirement at the end of this transition, and therefore, you know, we will give you a retention bonus, and in addition to that, you know, you will be able to retire. But what happened is that we whipped everybody into a frenzy because there was no plan. And now with Hilltop, we are behind schedule in getting people into the community because the capacity in family care is not there. The other thing is that we still, you know, the jury's still out on day programming, and whether or not we're going to have day programming for everybody that we're transitioning into the community. And so do we have the capacity there? And so this board has asked for a capacity study, which takes a look at all of these different things, but we're doing this after the fact. And so I know that it's easy for administration to sit and say it's the board's fault, we're not being able to do this as quickly as, you know, we had wanted to, but the reality is that even if we gave you the green light from the beginning and said, go ahead and downsize this baby as fast as you can, the capacity is not there. Family care cannot absorb these people, and they can't do it as quickly. And then you have resistance from the families, some of the families, which has nothing to do with this board. And so I just want to, again, I just, you know, I'm sitting here, obviously my gut doesn't feel good today anyway, because they keep getting kicked in it. But, you know, I don't want for people to walk out of here going, today going, oh, you know what, there was something else that the county board could have done. Because I can tell you with 110% certainty that since I've been here in 2004, minus the retention bonus that was in this 2014 budget, there has never been a time when administration has come to this county board and said, this is something that we need in order to be successful, and we haven't given to you. There has been times when other organizations have come and wanted us to do amendments and asked for $1.5 million or whatever it is, and we said, wait a minute, we still have money left, we don't need to do that. And that was after being advised by the administration that, no, this isn't something that we need. And so I think we've been, if we're being honest, have we passed, you know, 10,000 policies and told you how to do your job? No. Should we have? Maybe we should have. But I guess that's something that we'll just all have to, you know, question ourselves about. But we have tried to be as open and, you know, supportive as we can. Does every single person on this county board, including members of this committee, agree that we should be moving to a community-based system? Do they agree with the way that it's being done? Do they agree that that's the, you know? No. And they don't. Not every single person does. But those persons have not been obstructionists. And so they've basically said, we're going to let this process work its way out, and we'll hope for the best in the end. And so is every single person on this board nervous as to the outcome of this? Absolutely. Should you guys be nervous as to the outcome of this? Absolutely. But we're going to hope for the best. And it's the same thing that we did with the Milwaukee County Accountability Project. They told us that we shouldn't do it. They told us that it wouldn't work. They told, you know, whatever. We went forward with it anyway. And knock on wood, you know, we're at 25% success. You know, we're where we wanted to be. We want to make those numbers higher. We hope for the same thing here. But again, I think it's a little disingenuous to sit here and imply that somehow the county board had some type of, again, the other thing is too, is that there wasn't a roadmap for us to follow on this. There were other, organizations, obviously other entities that have closed, but those were state closures. The state came in and said, you have to do it. There wasn't a roadmap for people that came in and said, you know what, we would like for you to do this. And so we decided ourselves that this was something that we wanted to do. And so we're following a roadmap basically that we've constructed for ourselves. But again, I just don't want anybody walking out of here today going, oh, you know what, yeah, it was the county board, because that's just, you're not being honest. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right. Thank you. Any more comments or questions? Okay, let's move on to item...
I'm sorry, Chairman. Okay, I just need to get some clarification for that supervisor.
Oh, yeah, we do.
We do have a card, I'm sorry.
Hold on, he wants to clarify something.
Yeah, Mr. Kubitschek, go ahead and clarify.
Supervisor Bowen, there. Just wanted to clarify in terms of what your ask was. What you were looking at is kind of a study analysis or a salary analysis for CNAs and for nurses.
For RNs.
So I just wanted to let you know that that's going on as we speak with the JEQ process and HR. The Department of Human Services, Health and Human Services, is what is the department that they're working on right now. I don't have a sense as to where they're at in terms of nearing completion with that JEQ analysis process. So I guess it's being done through our HR department.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Chair?
Yes.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I guess I would clarify that the report of the information that I'm looking for, and I'm trying to go to it now, it's acting up a little funny. Okay. We have positions in RN positions and nursing assistant positions. I believe Aurora is one of the private sector providers of mental health, I believe.
Yes.
They probably have RNs. They probably have CNAs. I'd like just a clear comparison of how much RNs and CNAs make at Aurora. and their
okay. and their division. Respective industry. Yeah. That was a, you put that request in already, Supervisor Boone?
I did. He just wanted clarification.
I wanted clarification.
I do. I am aware of the JEQ process, but I just wanted a clear comparison.
Exactly. Director Colon, can you get that for us?
Thank you very much. Just let me comment to that. We aren't HR professionals, and I mean we're trying to run operations. HR needs is doing that.
Okay.
So we would. I hope to have that. I think by the end of maybe this month, but we'd have to talk to HR. But I don't want to put.
I got
our
you.
Staff no, in believe, position where I we're doing we a compensation that from, study.
That's
right,
fine.
You're right. You're right. I believe we can request that from HR.
That's fine. I will follow up with the parties that I deem efficient to get the information.
Okay.
My office can handle it.
Yeah, Madam
I think
Clerk.
That's a good request tomorrow in finance. Possibly.
I'll make the request. Thank you, Mr. Chair.
All right. Thanks, Supervisor Bowen. Okay. Thank you, Mr. Cooper. We have a card, a blue card from Mr. Jeff Weber.
Weber,
please come forward. Organization is WFNHP, the nurses.
Good afternoon, supervisors. My name is Jeff Weber. I am here representing my members with the Wisconsin Federation of Nurses and Health Professionals, but I also come to you as a frontline employee. I work second shift, PM shift, out at BHD. My title is Acute Care Float, but I work all the different units in that facility. I come to you today to tell you that BHD is in the throes of a staffing crisis. Not a problem, but a true crisis. We have many, many vacancies at the complex in all programs. It was a month ago that we had 41 vacant FTEs for CNA positions alone. And we had 28 FTE vacant positions for RNs. With those numbers being what they are, it is difficult to staff a hospital safely, any hospital. Back in August, I appeared before County Executive Chris Abley at his public hearing at the King Center for his budget. I asked him what his plan was to safely staff this facility in view of his plan to downsize and close two programs in a, at the point he made that announcement, a three-year plan. Since July, I have been hearing that the mantra has been, why should we be hiring if we're going to be closing programs and laying people off? Yeah, we had a few people hired on, coming on board, but it has not kept up nearly with the number of retirements, resignations, and separations we have incurred out at BHD. 8 months of why should we be hiring when we were going to be laying off has really put us behind the eight ball, and today we are suffering the effects. Just last night, I worked in the observation unit. We only had four patients, but two of those patients were on one-to-ones. One of my staff got pulled. Another staff transferred a patient upstairs, and that left two of us left on the unit with only three patients. But two of those patients were one-to-ones. If something were to go on, what were we to do? We could not leave our one-to-ones. Last month, I was here before you, and I mentioned that I had been mandated on New Year's Eve. Well, I'm here to also report, sadly, that I was mandated yet again on March 1st, a Saturday night. I wasn't mandated to be to fill a nursing role. I was mandated to fill a CNA role. Now, I know we have to do what we have to do to run the hospital and keep everybody safe there and take care of everybody. Fiscally, I don't know that that's the wisest choice, because according to the current county ordinance, I get paid double time for my hours served. And I make a little more than a nursing assistant. The mandating problem has been an ongoing problem since December. Yes, it diminished some in January, but since the 14th of February, it has been nearly every day. And not just one or two folks, 5, 10 people at a time. People are refusing to be mandated because they are being mandated all the time. Jim Kubitschek mentioned there's an increase in call-ins. Well, I know of a couple nurses that were mandated, and they had a call-in the next day. One of them had to even use an FMLA because of the mandating. Part-time people are no longer picking up extra shifts because they're afraid they're going to be mandated. Part-time people, when they're mandated, if they don't work over 40 hours that week, they don't even get overtime. Unless, of course, it's a nurse. The CNAs, straight time. They're tired of it. They don't want to get it done anymore. And, of course, management doesn't want to do it. I get that. But for 8 months, there has been a lack of hiring. And now we're suffering those consequences. Director Cologne mentioned the retention bonus. That's not the answer. That's not what is causing this staffing crisis. What has caused this staffing crisis is somebody, whether it be in Chris Abley's office, Director Cologne's office, or Carrie Mitchell's office, somebody made the decision not to hire the way we had been. In June, we used to have a nurse recruiter. I mentioned this at the last meeting. She was let go. She was always doing continuous recruitment, CNAs and RNs. In July, that pretty much stopped. Again, we get a couple here and there, but not that many. Mr. Kubitschek mentioned that the PM shift and night shift administrative resource, the supervisor, would be called in case we needed to have somebody fill a one-to-one slot that came up or a change of status, and that they would pull somebody. How can you pull somebody when you have nobody to pull? We are at bare bones minimum. And what we're doing is robbing Peter to pay Paul. March 2nd in PCS on night shift, they had 3 RNs and 1 CNA, and they had to pull that CNA from PCS to go upstairs. One nurse was sitting on a child, which is our regulation. One nurse had to monitor the waiting area and keep track of everybody. That left one nurse to do the intakes. PCS, we were just in the paper, I believe, and this is the kind of staffing we're dealing with every day. I can give you an example from every unit, every day. It goes on and on. We are in a true crisis. I understand that March we're looking at hiring more people with a new class to start next week. It was hoped that this past Monday, the 3rd, that a new class would come in. I understand there may be one nurse or maybe one CNA. That's not enough. We are so far behind. That's it all. That's all I have for you folks. I know there's not going to be a whole lot you can do.
Right.
But the word has to get out there. Somebody should be held accountable for this horrific decision not to hire.
Thank you very much. Director Cologne?
Madam Chair, if I could just clarify one thing. There has never been, I have never, ever said that we should not be hiring. In fact, that is a past cultural practice, one in which has been supported by the unions in the past. Once I became aware of this, because I did hear about it, but that was months ago, at least 6 months ago. And at that point, my directive was that we need to hire. We just need to be honest with the people and let them know that, you know, they could have a job for 6 months, and when Hilltop closes, they could be out of a job. That we be very, very honest with the person.
Mm-hmm.
And that's the course we've been taking since that time. And again, that was months ago. I want to say 6 to 8 months ago. So I just want to clarify that.
But I want to say for the record that I do, you know, people, and I'm sure I'm not alone in this, approach me all the time and say, hey, I need a job. I'm looking for work. And one of the things that I always tell them when I know they have medical background is apply at BHD. And I did get a response from a young lady the other day who told me that she called and that she was told that they are not hiring.
What's her occupation?
She is a CNA. She was a home health aide looking to do CNA.
Is she certified as a CNA?
Yes.
We're hiring.
Yeah.
That's all I can tell you is, gosh, we're hiring.
What about a job fair? Can we do a job fair? Mr. Weber, come on down. Mr. Weber's standing up in the back of the room, so...
I just recently heard, speaking to your point,
yes,
there was a job fair at MATC, and a county employee that was going to school there went down to that table. I don't know who in county was there.
Okay.
They also heard they're not hiring.
All this anecdotal, I don't know about that.
Maybe to get an undercover shopper to call there, because I'm telling you, she was, and I didn't, and then what do I say? Because I know that we need people, mm-hmm. and so I didn't get it. But again, maybe doing a job fair actually at BHD. And, you know, at this point, people know that we're closing. And so if you have people that are coming out to a job fair who want to get hired, they know what they're signing up for. And, you know, that helps alleviate our problem. The other thing, too, is that, you know, having Milwaukee County Mental Health Complex on your resume, it has to look good. I mean, we can't keep people, and it's because they're going to other employment. And so it is, you know, it is a feather in your cap to be able to say, look, I worked. If you can handle this population, you can handle anything. And so, you know, it is, it should be something I think that we should definitely be working on.
It may be anecdotal, but the proof is in the pudding.
Right.
How many people have we hired since July, and how many have we lost? It may be anecdotal, but the proof would be in the numbers. How many did we bring on board?
And that is true. All right. Supervisor Bowen?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And I think it's very telling to finally get this information, but when it comes to the director mentioning that, you know, when you did find out that there was this practice of not hiring, what level of management did this occur?
I don't understand.
Who gave the directive to not hire?
Right. You said this happened maybe 6-8 months ago. You noted, but you said you didn't determine where that came from.
Let me, if I could just jump
in. That's
in.
When it was your knowledge 6 to 8 months ago, so okay.
Yeah. So what happened 6 to 8 months ago in terms of conversations, I think it's impossible to recreate those, but I've also heard what Mr. Weber was discussing is the question, why should we be hiring if we're going to be laying off? So perhaps, certainly I have never given the directive to stop hiring because that I live with the being short-staffed every single day. Mm-hmm. So perhaps it could have been. I'm talking this is, again, anecdotal. Perhaps it could be a rhetorical question. Why should we be hiring if we're laying off? Is it a question that bears asking? Yes, it is. If you're going to be laying off in a short period of time, should you be hiring? The answer to that is yes. The answer to that question is yes, we need to continue to hire. Do we need to be deliberate about the number of folks that we're hiring into? The answer to that, also yes. But so I have heard the question before, but the answer to that question is what's key, and the answer, to my knowledge, has not been no. Now, Mr. Weber may have heard differently from other people, but certainly Director Colon has never given me the directive, and I have never given the directive to any of the folks who report to me t- to not hire.
Right, and I would hope that you wouldn't, especially understanding that you both agree that we need to be hiring.
Absolutely, sir.
Where I struggle is it was made known that this was happening in BHD staff or maybe in HR. I don't even know which division is over hiring at BHD for these positions, or if it's more so in HR where somebody was saying we don't need to be hiring because they're closing. But what did you do about that situation? Because if the individual that was continuing that practice is with the county and they weren't addressed, reprimanded, maybe let go for the practice of not doing something that you intended them to do, I'm not hearing that. What was the result of after you found out that this was the practice going on in BHD?
I wouldn't go so far as to say it was a practice. I mean, I think, again, to take what could have been hypothetically a rhetorical question, why would we be hiring if we're going to be laying off, and translate that into practice, I think, is a stretch. Mm-hmm. Anytime, certainly, that I heard those kind of statements, I was very clear. I was very clear with the union. I was very clear with management. I was very clear with anybody who'd listen to me. We're not hiring. We are hiring. We are going to continue to hire. We're going to hire deliberately. We're going to hire strategically based on what we're projecting our vacancy and turnover rate to be over the course of the next 6 to 8 months, based on what our proposed layoff schedule is over the next 6 to 8 months. All those things have to be taken into account. When we talk about the fact that we have to hire strategically, if that gets translated into we're not going to hire anymore, I don't have any control over that. But clearly the message has been we will hire, but we are not going to hire. We're not going to hire for 100% of the vacant CNA positions or for 100% of the nurse positions. To me, that does not make any sense, and it's not needed, all right, because we are operating now. You heard a little bit ago on Central and Hilltop, we're operating at a lower census. We're not required to do layoffs at this point, but we're also not required to hire up to fill all those positions because the patients are no longer there. Mm-hmm. So we don't hire staff to the point where we have to care for all those individuals. We hire up to the point where we have residents that need the care.
Madam Chair, and I'll address this to you, what I don't understand is if this was being found out, regardless if we need to hire 100%, we have a 15% deficit in hiring and vacant positions that are not filled. And it was found out that the practice of someone in our staff purposefully not allowing new hires to be added on. However that happened, I have no idea. But it wasn't even investigated or to figure out where this was coming from. So, you know, this is why we're dealing with all these positions that we have to force people, employees, to do these extra shifts, and it's been happening for months, and then when it's found out that it's happening, there are some conversations, but we don't know how we even got into this deficit in the first place, and now we're paying for it now because we're seeing a lot more retirements and people let go more than the people that we're bringing on. So I just struggle with that wasn't handled. And there's nothing I can do about it. Right. As the board, I don't run the day-to-day operations, but if we determine and we make a policy that we are hiring this many people because that is the budget what we passed on the county board, but there's a practice of not putting people in that position and the administration won't figure out where it's coming from. I'm confused.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Mr. Kubicek, can I ask you, whose idea was it to dismiss the nurse recruiter?
This would have been, I have to think back in what budget year this was. I can't recall what budget year, if it was in the 13 or if it was in the 12 budget. But it was an administrative decision to move that function into HR and to have HR take over the primary recruitment for the nursing department. They did hire a nurse, a healthcare recruiter, so that position was hired into, but it was under the HR auspices. That was it's called an NPC position, which is a management position. So that position was eliminated in either the 12 or the 13 budget, and it was really kind of a mutual decision between HR agreeing to take on that function, and administration agreeing that the management had a need for that position on the unit.
All right. I specifically remember looking for it in the 2013 budget because I did not want that position to be eliminated. That was something that we did back in 2005, and honest to goodness, it was our saving grace. That's how we were able to get a handle on the staffing issues that we were having at BHD, was bringing in that nurse, a professional, and having her do recruitment. So I think that was unfortunate, but...
That position did other things. It wasn't just a nurse recruiter position. There were other things that she was engaged in as well, and a lot of those things have been spread out through the nursing department, hiring, interviewing, those kinds of things. So.
Okay. All right. So we have beat this one to death. All right. Well, thank you very much. We will schedule this again next month so that we can follow up with it as long as... State law allows us. We'll just to keep on top of where we are.
So for next month, what are you looking for?
We're gonna look to see an increase in the numbers and to see if improvement's been made. Yeah, increase in hiring. That is the goal. All right. And last but certainly not least, and I want to thank my committee members. It's very frustrating every month when we have people who leave. It's informational item. It's item number 13.
12 is the cap report.
Sorry, number 12. Okay.
We refer to back to the cap report.